This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the big show as we roll on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio at Dow Media on a Tuesday. Here we go, fellas. What's up? That time.
What's up?
Whenever I get to that point in the show that today is Tuesday, it reminds me that tomorrow is once again Wednesday, Wednesday, and we need a theme.
Back Wednesday. I thought we already said what the theme was going to be.
Which is?
Wasn't it songs?
Mumble?
Songs you can't understand.
Exactly.
Yep. Songs you can't understand
songs
the lyrics
Songs you
to.
Can't understand. All right, your list will be in at 3, and we will be planning on
that. Is that what
for
we're going
tomorrow.
With?
I mean, I think we mentioned that. That seemed like the consensus. Yeah. I don't know if we confirmed it.
But and I told you guys I wouldn't, like last week when it came up, that I wouldn't do it. So
Okay. So I'm down for that. Totally down for that.
Cool. Then that's what it is.
Have at it, peeps. I'm sure you'll be inundating us with suggestions.
Email sent.
You're kidding.
I swear to God. I knew this morning this was going to be our theme, so I went ahead and did it.
So your list was done before the show started.
My list was done at 12:50. Well, today. I didn't do it earlier, but I kind of knew. I led y'all right into that, too. I got that consensus
You're
vote.
Happy with yourself. Right
oh, God, that was a beautiful. The greatest trick the devil ever played right there. Just walked y'all right into that. Oh, God, that's the best feeling in the world.
These are all pre-2009?
Yes.
I'll find something to disqualify you.
You'll find a reason?
Oh, I'll find God. Something.
That was beautiful. Did you see how I played it off? Like, oh, what was it that we were going to do? I totally forgot.
Wait a second. REM, it's the end of the world?
Yeah.
You're saying because he goes so fast, but if it's still like, if
nope.
it's still
nice
clearly
try.
Able to part, decipher what he's saying.
Like in Tommy Boy when they're like, 6 o'clock, 2 o'clock. They don't know the words.
Well, the movie didn't, but
there.
We do.
Nope. Oh, really? Do them all. Go.
I don't have to do it now.
Oh, yeah. No, if you know
no,
the
I don't.
Words,
no,
go
don't.
Ahead and prove your point.
I will choose
Go ahead and prove your point. Just do the first three.
What I want to do.
Well, do the first three then. That's because
Leonard
you don't
Bernstein.
Know the words.
Leonard Bernstein.
That's two words, well, but I'm saying do the first three verses of it. I heard uh-oh. I got that. See? No idea what they're saying. And Joel doesn't know either. Don't let him fool you.
Oh, no, I'm fooling people.
That's fair.
Oh, my God. Every time we pick on Joel, he goes, oh, well, now I'm fooling people. Like, you get to get picked on, too. You know that, right?
I do. I take shots from Nick all the time.
I'm just making sure.
And from Barry.
As
Barry
much
Barry
as I get
shots.
Picked on, as much as Nick gets picked on. We got to make sure that this is divided up. I feel like you don't bear the brunt of it. Nick and I get the
Shocker
bulk.
You would feel that way.
The bulk of it. In fact, I get most of the hate.
I would disagree with that 100%.
Well, you're pretty hateable. I just want you to know that. You've got a hateable face.
That I can't help, sir.
I was waiting for you to be like, oh, yeah, sure.
That's probably what it. But let's pick on Joel. I like that.
I like that
idea.
Too. Yeah, yeah.
From
Bet
two
you
to
do.
Four. Let's,
Bet you do.
Shout out to AR Platinum. Can I just say?
He got you more followers or subscribers? Or what'd he do?
That dude is a champion. So he's got all those YouTubers. Like, he's almost up to 50,000 now.
What?
And he was like, bro, I'm going to help you with your podcast. So he's running a thing where, just like he did with my YouTube channel, he's like, hey, I'll give somebody $100. Everybody go listen and then subscribe and then rate it. And I'll pick a winner from all the reviews and give you $100. This dude is a champion. Like, this dude, like, it's crazy. It's crazy.
So what's this love affair that he has with you?
No,
and
you know
only?
What it is? Honest to God, because we talked about that, and he was like, man, I just, like, he's like, there's this thing that he figured out, and it's like, there's no need to hoard it. You know how some people figure out stuff, and then they don't want to share it with you? Like, they can't, it's like, oh, AR Platinum's thing is, dude, everyone can eat. Like, him hoarding 48,000 followers, they can follow more than one person. They can support more than one person. That's what he's saying is, like, I figured this out. I'm going to help other people figure it out, or I'm going to help other people grow their audiences or grow their. It's pretty cool, man. You don't meet a lot of people that are willing to share with you what they've figured out or what they've done.
Yeah. And you know what? I've heard from like a social media standpoint, like there's social media experts that are like, dude, I'll share everything I know because it's not that big of a secret. If just you share it, everybody can be successful at
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
There's a consistency factor and there's a bunch.
It's different if it's like, let's say that a job in radio opened up. It's different if you're like, oh, I'm not going to tell nobody. I'm just going to go and go because you don't want the competition for that job. But in social media circles, I think it's a bit different because you can follow more than one person. We all do. We mm-hmm. all support more than one person. So pretty cool, though, of him to be so giving like that. So just shout out to him. Appreciate the love and the support.
And he's offered up for
us. Did you ever reach out to him?
No, I don't know that. Did I get the, I have to get, I don't have his contact information.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I think he's hit you up on Twitter.
I'll have to go back and
look. Yeah, because I'm sure he'll help you figure out how to move all that memorabilia for sure.
Not the memorabilia, the cards.
Yeah.
Tons of those cards.
Oh, that's right. You didn't want to get rid of the...
I'm not getting rid of my memorabilia. But, I'm glad...
Sell the cards?
Something with the cards, yeah.
Yeah.
So Astros last night, did you peep any of that?
I turned it on in time to see the ball go through Josh Reddick's legs. Yeah. Literally switched over and went, oh, this is ugly but attainable. Whoops. And then a bases clearing triple or double with an error. Or actually, should have been a single, I believe, with a two-base error. Just ball right through his legs. And then a few plays later, Tyler White muffs a throw from Correa. And then I got to see Marwin Gonzalez throw out Altuve. And I went, this game's stupid. I'm out on this, too.
I just got frustrated from the get-go. I mean, Peacock had a rough first inning.
Yep.
You know, gave up two right off the jump. And then, and then they just started squandering runners on base again. And I'm going, oh, man, not another game where we were just talking about how great the starting pitching had been. And early on, while Cole and Verlander looked to be trying to figure some stuff out, the back half of the rotation was great. Now, you know, they've struggled. Cole's still struggling. Verlander seems to be that anchor, that you know, that rock that you need. But now you're starting to go back and start wondering what the hell's going on with the rotation. Like you said, the defense broke down late. Jason Castro hit his first home run of the year into the bullpen against his old team.
Yeah.
Not a good game again. Three straight losses for the Stros, and it's not panic time, but
no,
at all. And are already starting to like get edgy again. Don't.
My favorite was like Manny Fresh on Twitter was like, "Oh, Tyler White is stupid. That guy shouldn't even be in the majors." I mean, never mind that he was one of the best hitters on the Astros and in baseball after June when he came up last year. I get it. He's not a great fielder. He's not a great first baseman. He should be a DH. But to say that he doesn't belong here. This isn't John Singleton, okay?
No.
He's going to struggle. In fact, I said, did you say the same thing about Josh Reddick when the ball got through his legs? And he was like, oh, it's different. Josh Reddick's hitting 350. First of all, Josh Reddick is not going to end the year at 350, so stop that silly talk. Second of all, guys are going to make mistakes. You can't just be like, well, this guy's average sucks and he doesn't play every day. He's got 35 at-bats. Bleep that guy. Get out of here for making a mistake. That makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean,
no sense.
Reddick
Tyler White
really,
is not why they lost that
Reddick
game.
Even when Reddick didn't hit well, Reddick was always a good outfielder, an above average outfielder.
But that's my point.
Right?
I'm
backing you up on it.
I'm using him to say, dudes make mistakes.
Yeah, but on the Tyler White thing, can we just say that after he kind of picked it up and had a good finish to the season last year, everything like that, did he get a little fat and happy on his last season?
What do you mean?
He looks bigger.
Oh, like he didn't come in shape?
Yeah, like Lisa looked at him in the batter's box last night and went, did he not go through spring training? And I was like, what do you mean? Everybody goes through spring training. She goes, he doesn't look like he's been, and I'm like, well, he's a bigger guy to begin with.
Yeah.
But then I looked at him in the box and at first base, and I was like, maybe he did put on a little extra.
I don't know. I don't know.
He said he's been having a hard time catching up with the fastball or from a hitting perspective, being prepared for the fastball. Which, again, I don't think is something that's very common amongst hitters, but let's just say he's struggling.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if his weight has anything to do with it. I mean, since the fielder could catch up with a fastball, I'm not going to, you know, what's his name? The Kung Fu Panda out in San Francisco was able to catch up with a fastball. I wouldn't pin it on. I think he's just not a great hitter. I think he had a good second half of the year. I don't think Tyler White's ever going to be a great hitter. I think he'll have spurts. He's kind of like a, I mean, if I were to give you an idea of what he is like, he's like the Rockets' Gerald Green.
Hot or cold.
Yeah, he'll be hot or cold. Sometimes he'll play he'll block a shot or have a defensive play that's great. Sometimes he's going to get toasted or be out of position. I mean, his fielding percentage this year is 1,000, but you got to make those scoops. You're not going to get.
Well, last night he had a couple. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, guys, Aledmys Diaz booted some balls early on. Do you send him down? Remember early on when he was filling in when Correa was out?
Yeah, he right away
booted
two
or three balls in one game and cost him the game. Yeah. Are we kicking him out too? Are we kicking every guy out that boots two or three balls?
And he's hitting. So if you want to be technical about it, go, hey, he's hitting the cover off of it, so why are you going to pick on him?
Exactly. I mean, these guys, Chirinos and Tyler White damn near have the same average. If Chirinos gets a few balls between the wickets, are we sending him down too?
No, because he's throwing runners out, Barry.
Okay, well, I mean, that's my point. It just seems silly. And, like, when stuff is going wrong, it goes wrong for everybody.
And people look to jump on it. But you did have a Pablo Sandoval reference, so I will give you that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
way to go, Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah.
So they're back at it tonight, and that would be with Miley on the hill. So hopefully he can keep it in the park.
I'm sorry. Pink Valkyrie just tagged us on a tweet. Tuve's tongue on Twitter put happy Angel Hernandez is tonight's home plate umpire bleep my life day. And then they included a Whaley selfie. They included a Whaley selfie.
Fantastic.
With it. That is so outstanding. I wish that more people would catch on to the hashtag Whaley selfie, because then I could just click on it and go see just how bad. I got yelled at for doing a Whaley selfie.
Why?
On Twitter, and I did it. Someone was like, hey, you leave her alone. She's been doing those, and that's not a big deal. And I was like, no, you missed the context of it. Maggie, Isaiah Carey's producer, Maggie, I think her last name is McKeithen. I probably said it wrong. But she was like, no, leave her alone. I was like, the backstory is, during the chemical fire, she's like, thousands of people are dying. Selfie. She was like, oh, I didn't realize that.
Never. And she did
carry
a follow-up to another story like a week later. And
carry
like,
on.
All right.
Yeah.
You know what's carrying on? This first-round series between the Rockets and the Utah Jazz. And we know there's nothing like the atmosphere of Rockets playoff basketball at the Toyota Center. You can join James Harden, Chris Paul, and the Rockets as they look to move on to the second round. And finally take care of the Utah Jazz tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Again, the early start time, back to our normal 7 p.m. starts. That's a good thing. Limited tickets have just been made available. Doors are going to open at 5:30, so you can arrive early for the pregame happy hour. $3 beers, $1 hot dogs, sodas. Budweiser liftoff party starts at 4:30 with live music provided by Houston band Breakfast at Tiffany's. Go to rockets.com to get your tickets now. Game 5 tickets are on sale right now. They have just been made available. There's a limited supply, so you got to act fast. Get to rockets.com. Get your tickets. It's the Rockets. The Jazz is tomorrow night. It's Toyota Center.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through another segment of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We always like to give back to the suspects on this show because we appreciate y'all out there. And I say y'all because I don't know if you've heard this or not, but it was just announced. Country music superstars Trace Adkins and Clint Black have joined forces for the Hits Hats History Tour. And ESPN 97.5 wants to send one lucky winner to the show. Caller 10 right now, 713-780-3776, wins a pair of tickets to see Clint Black and Trace Adkins at the Smart Financial Center in Sugarland on August the 8th. For more concert information and tickets, if you don't win, livenation.com. Good luck, caller number 10. There you go.
Yeah, these glasses aren't going to work. I feel like I'm drunk when I wear them. It's kind of cool, but not good. So we have to fix this real
quick. Drunk without the buzz?
Yeah, that's not fun. You got to have the buzz if you're going to feel drunk. Right, Nick? Yeah. I'm going to the expert here.
Absolutely.
Okay. Just checking.
Okay. And the contest line is already filling up, so that's exciting.
Good.
Still got another. Do we have another giveaway? No, it's just a liner, I think.
Yeah, the other one's a liner. I was thinking about that last night during the game, and then I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Nathan Eovaldi, a guy that pitched very well in the playoffs last year for the Red Sox, that mm-hmm. the Astros were supposedly checking out and considering signing, is now going to have particles removed from his throwing elbow and going to miss about 2 months.
Mm.
Another bullet dodged.
Yeah, they got lucky.
Kudos to Jeff Luhnow. When you think about it so far, he's fought temptation to sign Keuchel to that long-term deal that Boris wanted for him. He avoided Eovaldi, who had the arm issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, did he avoid Eovaldi, or did he just not get him?
We don't know. We don't know if he did the medical history to say that there's something that might not be right.
I mean, I felt like there was a pursuit there. So kudos to him for being lucky. But I feel like there was some sort of, because remember, Eovaldi came out and narrowed it down, didn't he? He's like, Red Sox and Astros, that's what I'm narrowing it down to.
Because he's from the area.
Yeah, so I think the Astros were in on him. So
for whatever reason, Jeff Luhnow looks great in the fact that he avoided the Eovaldi situation.
He got lucky and dodged that bullet.
He fought temptation to go overboard on a long-term deal for Keuchel at big money.
Yeah.
And the other one is Marwin. I looked at his stats last night.
Marwin is not
and I'm going,
a good year.
Marwin, when you were thinking about 15, 18 mil and all, the, you know, everybody loves Marwin, and he was a hell of a player and will always be a part of Astros history, but he's hitting 204.
Yeah. Speaking of that, did you, and I'm with you, I think it was wise not to pay Marwin all that money for the stats. And we, you know, it's hard to predict, but you can kind of see when a guy is, this is what this guy is, and he has a breakout year and then doesn't maintain that. I mean, he went from 2017 to 2018, and you knew that his numbers were down and that would probably continue to trend. But did you see the tribute video that the Astros did for Marwin?
Now, I saw the one on the broadcast, and I'm like, is that what's actually going on the board? Because the graphics look like 1976.
Just the words
at the
bottom.
It was just like the date and the setting a little bit.
I didn't mind that. I didn't really notice I did, but I guess it didn't stand out. Maybe that's what you mean. Like, it wasn't flashy or updated. But why start with a pop-out? I was like, this is some sort of troll job by the Astros. Because they started the whole video, was like, we love you, Marwin. And then he pops out to shallow center. And I was like, why would you do that man like that if you love him? Like, and then somebody's like, oh, dummy, that was his first at bat. Okay, you didn't have to show his pop out for you could have just put major league debut and shown him standing in the field.
Right.
You could have put major league debut and showed him at the plate. You didn't have to show the out. That's literally all it was. I was like, that's awful to lead a tribute video with an out.
And I get that a lot of you out there consider yourselves Astros aficionados and you understand it and the graphic may or may not have told you that. But seriously, most people had no clue why that was in the video. They're like, seriously, his first at bat, if it wasn't like a home run.
Why are you showing it? Yeah, just put Major League debut, was it April 3rd, 2012?
Something like that.
I think it was April 3rd, 2012 was his Major League debut. So just show him standing in the field. Just show him in the dugout or at the plate, but don't show the out.
Right?
That's terrible. They did show his first hits, first home run, all that. That's good.
Right.
I just thought it was pretty hilarious.
Like I said, he's going to be etched in Astros lore forever for the home run against the Dodgers in the World Series. And, you know, and obviously he's still very, very much loved by the clubhouse. As you saw, even when Reddick got to third base, you know, he slapped him in the butt and put his arms around him and they were talking throughout the night as he was talking and engaging with different players and teammates. But look, he's always going to be loved. He just wasn't going to be loved going forward at $13 to $15 million plus a year.
Yeah.
And I think that the Astros and Jeff Luhnow made the right decision.
I'm with you. I'm completely with you. You can't afford to pay that for basically a utility infielder, outfielder, and a guy that if you could pay that money to Marwin or that money to Brantley, give me Brantley. I don't need Brantley to be an infielder. Just be a really good left fielder. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, I was a big advocate of bringing in Brantley anyway. But yeah, you're right. If you're going to put it like that and give me either or, I'm glad they went the direction they did. And obviously, he's just getting started, but he looks like he's the real deal and he's going to be for them. So that helps them a great deal. And you get Diaz at a cheaper price to be the same kind of guy. And like we said, regardless of when you want to be critical of his fielding early in the season at shortstop, but he's hitting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in a good position there. Yeah. So that's a good look. And again, for people that are panicking about this Astros team, let's just realize the fact that they've lost three in a row, and they're still one of the top five best records in baseball.
Yeah, pitching staff, I mean, the numbers-wise, took a bit of a hit. They were like number two in the American League behind, I want to say, Tampa Bay in runs allowed, and now they're like fifth or sixth. It was a pretty quick and swift tumble over these last three or four games, but... they'll be fine. They're still one of the five best. Even though I saw the power rankings came out right before this three-game slide that had them number one.
Yep.
They'll be okay. Every team's going to go through this. Hell, at least you ain't the Yankees.
Right. I mean, the fact Judge, that they
now the 13th guy on the IL?
On the injured list.
That's crazy.
13. I saw a graphic last night, and was Stanton's out too, but I think it was like... Eight of the nine guys, minus Brent Gardner last night, were making $600,000 a year or less, and they were all starting for the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Think about that. It's one thing to say
that... All the wrong guys got injured.
But it's the Yankees, right? But for any team, it's still kind of a rarity that eight of the nine position players are going to be making $600,000 or less.
Right.
But on the Yankees, it's unheard of.
It really is. Yeah, it really is. And all the wrong guys are getting injured. But all the right money's in your pocket when you use Get Upside. All the cash is yours. You get cash back using Get Upside. People, stop and listen to me for just a second, please. This app is called Get Upside. It is completely free to use. You don't pay a dime. You don't have to pay to download it. You just download it to your phone. And do yourself a favor. I want you to get extra cash back. I want to kind of seed that money into your account. So when you download Get Upside, put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you a little extra the first time you fill up through the app. And I'm using it. My wife uses it. Nick uses it. AJ uses it. My brother-in-law is using it. Tons of listeners are starting to send me how much is in their account, and I love hearing it because I know this app works, and if you haven't been using it, you need to check it out. It's called Get Upside, completely free. Promo code Barry gets you extra savings. And what does that mean? Well, when you use Get Upside, you get cash back for stuff you're already purchasing, like gas and like, you know, food when you eat out. And at the gas pump, you can get up to 25 cents a gallon normally at over 500 gas stations in the city. But with that promo code Barry, you can get extra savings on top of the savings you're already normally getting through the app. It's that cool. It's that easy. And it works. You just use a debit card, upload your receipt. You start getting the cash back. That's how it works. It's that simple. These businesses want you to come by. They want you to use them instead of their competitors. That's why they're in the app, and that's why they offer you this cash back savings. But you can only get it through the Get Upside app. Get 35% cash back when you eat out, up to 25 cents a gallon when you pump. Download Get Upside. Put in promo code Barry. Get that cash back. Thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books. That means 90 still to go with the big show. Plenty of time for you to get involved here with The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You can call 713-780-3776, or you can hit us up on Twitter, where it's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick. Having a good time on a Tuesday. Of course, tomorrow, Way Back Wednesday. Songs pre-2009 with lyrics you can't understand or are mumble rappy.
I saw you diligently working on your list.
I don't know what you saw.
Yeah, I feel like you were over there diligently.
First of all, you have no grounds to talk because you, one, assured us that you were not going to do what you've done previously, and you not only did it again, but you... You bamboozled us into making the decision so that you could do it again.
I did hoodwink you, but I did not last week on Wednesday.
What's the difference between a bamboozle and a hoodwink?
Oh, miles. Last week, I told you I would make my list, and I didn't. You can clearly look at and see when I crafted this email. It was this morning at 12:50 p.m. I promise you that I didn't do this, and you should believe me.
You, I mean, of all really people, why, Nicholas, but... should be anything but believing him.
No, I do not believe him. I feel like I need he one schemed of y'all to his way.
Me. No, I didn't do this last
complete
week.
His
I
list.
Swear to you, I didn't do this last week.
This was all a plan by Barry Laminack. For sure.
I feel like you guys trust me. I feel like we lack trust on this show.
I feel that's accurate. You pinpointed it.
I don't know why you guys lack trust in me, but I waited until Wednesday at 12:50. Mm-hmm. That's when I made it. So
show. Mm. Normally it's during the
it's
show.
A good list.
It was pre-show.
Well, because I figured I could lead y'all into that.
Can't trust anybody who wears Abercrombie and Fitch. Just can't do it. Can't do it.
I'm trying to think.
By
the
way,
last
I haven't seen
it.
Yeah, it's been a while.
No, I wore it because I have that one with the moose on it that I wear.
But does it say AF on it or something?
Oh
like
yeah,
that? It does.
Oh yeah.
The guilty AF for getting his list in so soon.
Yeah, that was. The thing is, I have a lot of songs like on the top of my head, but they're all post 2009.
Oh, are they? Mm. Well, yeah, it's because of all the mumble rappers.
Right.
When did mumble rap come out? That's a recent thing, like 5-6 years. I don't think there was any pre 2009.
Which came
mumble
first,
rap.
Mumble rap or auto-tune?
Auto-tune for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. That's interesting. I was looking at the draft. I don't know who you use for your mocks. I like Zerline,
for sure.
Obviously. But I think CBS does a pretty good job with their mocks as well. And there's an interesting conundrum comes up. Ryan Wilson put out a mock. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at it. Okay. You know, because all this is just exercise in futility until it actually happens. But it did present an interesting scenario for the Texans. All right. Let's assume, based on this mock draft, that we get to pick 23. Mm-hmm. And it's the Texans' turn. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to give you who he has them picking, and then I'm going to give you the next pick in the draft, and then that's going to create the scenario. So Ryan Wilson has the Texans taking Andre Dillard from Washington State,
yep.
The tackle, with the 23rd pick in the draft, which is I would be ecstatic with that. That would be great. The 24th pick in the draft, they have the Raiders taking Greedy Williams.
Yep.
Now, the question becomes – and you could swap out Byron Murphy, defensive back from Washington, if you want to do that as well in place of Greedy Williams. I would be okay with either of those. If you wanted to maybe substitute a Greg Little, because I don't think Jonah Williams is going to be available.
I agree.
But if you wanted to throw in Greg Little, if you think that, you know, Andre Dillard is the guy that will be available, which I think would be a good get. I think a lot of people think he might be the best pass protector at tackle in this draft. But the scenario is, as a fan, what would you rather see? Would you rather them take the top pass-protecting tackle in the draft and Andre Dillard? Let's assume that that's him, based on scouting and everything else and what people say. Not my personal opinion necessarily, but what the scouts say, right? Mm-hmm. Great feet, great – he's protected, great left tackle from a pass-protecting standpoint. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have the best pure cover corner in the draft in Greedy Williams?
Because
you have
two.
Your pick. You
of
have
the
your
two,
pick.
Right.
They're both
the
available
two,
at 23.
Of the two – we've said this over and over again. It's been 2 years going that they need help on the offensive line. I realize they took some hits in free agency with the secondary, but number one top priority has to be the offensive line. And there are knocks on Greedy Williams that supposedly he doesn't like. Not only does he not like to tackle, there are concerns about how much he's almost got a Kelvin Cato attitude about, I play football because I'm good at it, but I don't love the game. I talked to Lance and some other people that when they were breaking things down, saying there's a reason why he's slipping and the Texans might have access to him. So with all that being said, I'd rather have a guy like you described that we know going in, he's a franchise type guy that's going to be on your offensive line for years to come, and he is going to be above average. I would go that route.
Okay, but what about Byron Murphy? They're saying he might be available. Another really good cornerback.
Then I get down to more of the brass tacks of it. What do you need more? Secondary help or offensive line? I know that you picked up some more journeymen on the offensive line. So you have to consider, you know, and you picked up some journeymen on
so
in the secondary.
You'd still stick with going with tackle.
I'm going to stick with offensive line because, I, you know what, I may not even be – let me put it this way. If they don't get 3 to 4 offensive linemen out of their 7 picks in this draft, I'm going to be pretty disappointed.
Really? 3 to 4?
3 to 4.
I saw a mock that said they had – I think it was Dillard going first. Where was that at? It was pretty interesting. Yeah, they had Andre Dillard going first, and then they the kid Reasoner out of Kansas State in the second round. That would be a pretty Texans. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be those were two good pulls.
That would be a pretty good 1-2 for me, considering now, what's available and whatnot. But I do like if you could grab a top tier cornerback, like Mike Murphy or like Williams. Man, in this league, there's two things you got to do. You got to be able to throw the ball, and you got to be able to defend
Khalil
the pass.
If can find it where he once was, and he kind of resurrects his career, then maybe that's a good sign. And again, you've dabbled both ways to try and get some like more Band-Aids, some more quick fixes to both both position groups. But I saw Dillard going, and ESPN this morning did a mock draft where they had Dillard going 12 to the Packers. And I will tell you this. The more that I see mock drafts, the more that I believe in my heart the Packers are going to trade down, because one of the teams that desperately needs a quarterback is going to want that slot where their guy is going to either be, or they're worried about him going right after that. And I think between Washington and maybe even, I think Washington may move up. I think Kansas City may have movement. And again, the wild card in all this is Josh Rosen. Because if the Cardinals truly do believe that Kyler Murray's their guy, then Josh Rosen could screw up everybody's draft plans, because depending on which team he's traded to, and you got to believe that they've got to make a trade for him before the draft so that they can get a draft pick for him and try and get another player. He's the wild card.
What do you, I mean, you think they get much for Josh Rosen?
They're not going to get number 10 in the first round like they got, like they, that's like where they took him.
Right.
But I think they get a second round pick for him. Ooh. I think they could get something for him. I do.
That would be interesting. I don't know. I could see giving a third or a fourth round pick for him, because it is a bit of, I mean, when you look at what he's done and some of the issues that
the
they
teams
felt
that
like
are desperate,
he had.
But are cap strung. Washington, Kansas City. Washington, Miami, if they're truly, you know, they've got so many other things, or if they're just rebuilding, I don't know what they're going to do. The Giants, because they're cap strapped to some degree. I think the Giants and the Redskins could be the two most active, depending on what they want to do. And the Giants.
But if you're the Giants, do you want a guy that the Cardinals don't even want because they feel like they're somebody better? Or do you just say, you know what? You know, we don't want your retread. No, thank you. We'll stick it out at six and get a quarterback for us.
I won't say better per se, because we don't know what Kyler Murray is going to do on the NFL level, but I will say better fit for their new coach and the style that he wants to play. Cliff Kingsbury, who wants to open it up and be running, you know, run and gun and all those different things. But I think there's a reason why teams still traded up and Josh Rosen was a top 10 pick. I think people believe in his abilities. I think the bigger problems are just his attitude and what's going on between his ears.
This mock has the Giants actually addressing it. They get Ed Oliver at six.
Yeah, because everything I've heard is the Giants who would.
Then at 17, they take Jones, Daniel Jones.
And I've heard, because Daniel Jones has history with both Manning brothers and with Gettleman and guys like that.
So you could see them not getting in on that Josh Rosen sweepstakes. I just don't know.
But I'm saying, you know how it goes. If there's a wave at a position group and one quarterback sets off a domino effect, then the Giants might have to react instead of just sitting back and letting the right guy come to them.
I tell you, though, going back to the original scenario, I'm with you. If I had the choice between Andre Dillard or Greedy Williams or Murphy or whoever, I'm still going left tackle, especially if it's the best pass-protecting left tackle in the draft. That's the one thing that this team needs more than anything. Because the point I was making is you've got to be able to throw the ball, but you got to be able to defend the pass. Mm-hmm. But because we know it's a defensive-heavy draft, and because we know there's more depth at the cornerback position and the safety position in this draft than there is at tackle, I jump all over that if I'm the Texans, because you got to do something to protect Deshaun Watson, and it starts and ends on his blind side with the left tackle.
For years, we wanted him to get a franchise quarterback. Now that they got him, if they don't protect him, and we've already seen that they went, because I wrote an article for SportsMap last night on the time is now for Brian Gain to make his kind of his signature moment where he makes his mark on the franchise, because so far to this point, there hasn't been anything that, you know, good or bad that you can say that's on you, like we could with Rick Smith. But when you look at it, you can't go through another year of, because 2 years ago, they said the number one priority was the offensive line. So last year, they put a Band-Aid and a quick fix on some journeymen to be the guys that upgraded the position, and they actually were probably as bad or worse than they were the year before.
Yeah.
So you've got to address this for the long haul, and Lance is the one that's always said, when you look at the best offensive linemen, they're drafted there, they stay where they're drafted, and then you groom them and you get them ready, and then they're a fixture on your line for years to come. You don't just find them, because good offensive linemen aren't in free agency, because the teams that know they're good keep them.
Yeah, and the other thing that pissed me off about the mock, that I'm not going to lie, at 19, the Titans, they had them taking Chris Lindstrom from BC.
Which
best,
is a
best
popular,
guard in the draft. Yeah. And I was like, damn it. Like
Packers have been connected with him, too.
Oh, well.
If they drop back a little.
If the Texans are lucky, then you know, Packers will only get the one pick. So it can't be Dillard.
If they trade down. Yeah. If they trade down.
Oh, okay.
Because, again, I think there's going to be teams needing a quarterback. They're going to try and get that 12 pick from Green Bay. And, again, another ESPN mock that I saw had them going with the BC guard because they said they really don't need tackles yet, and they have the best left tackle in the game. Right tackle has been injury-plagued to where they might want to groom for the future. But with Aaron Rodgers and the time being now, I think they got to take position of need for right
this
now.
This has Fant from Iowa, tight end.
Tight end, yeah.
Going to Green Bay. So I don't know how you feel about that, but...
I mean, Jimmy Graham, they're going to give him another go. But, you know, again, are you drafting for now or the long haul? Or do you feel like Jimmy Graham is not going to make it?
Yeah.
That's where they got to kind of focus. So, all right, if you want to talk a little NFL draft coming up on Thursday, round one at night in primetime, and what the Texans may or may not do, give us a call. Otherwise, if you want to join us with something else on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line, you can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Before we head to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at iHeart Carpet Cleaning. We all know that you got high traffic areas in your house. Maybe it's the back door at the kitchen. Maybe it's your front door and through the living room. Maybe you got kids and pets like me, and you constantly are looking at your flooring going, man, it's dirty and we got to do something about it. Well, these are the people that are here to help. It's iHeart Carpet Cleaning. It's Danny, the owner, and Danny is just fantastic. Danny Montiel has had years and years and years, decades of carpet cleaning experience, and now he's off on his own with his own business to show you, the people of Houston, that he is the only place to go when you need carpet cleaning. It's iHeart Carpet Cleaning. You call him at 832-926-8049. 832-926-8049. They're going to come to your house. They're going to do a small patch of your carpet, your hardwood floor, your tile, or your grout, to show you what they can do. And then they're going to ask if you want them to continue. Because if you do, there is a special just for ESPN 97.5 listeners. And that's $97.50 gets you three rooms carpet cleaned to your satisfaction. Three rooms, $97.50. That is a great, great deal. All you got to do is mention my name, Joel Blank, and ESPN 97.5. They're going to take care of you. And by the way, they don't use any harsh chemicals. They use natural steam. It's safe for your flooring and your family and your pets. And again, Danny Montiel and his staff are going to take care of you. So give them a call. Tell them I sent you by. 832-926-8049. 832-926-8049. It is iHeart Carpet Cleaning.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Need even hour number two, 3 hour show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday in the big city as we continue to roll forward. I see you've been sorting out social media, at least the text messages.
Oh, yeah. I finally got around to it.
Yeah.
I forgot. It's almost 3 o'clock. I hadn't read a single text message. So my apologies to all the texters. One of them kind of went crazy. One of them went psycho and sent 15 paragraphs of the same thing, basically. Two big, long texts. So $27.98, just call, bro. That's so many words to read on air and off. Just call if you have that much to say. AR Platinum did text the show, but he's like, the love for y'all comes from y'all making me laugh at lunch during some pretty rough times in my life last year. Much love and respect for you three guys.
Thank you, sir.
I'm just here to give back. So that's why AR Platinum helps us.
Appreciate it.
Yep, appreciate that. Why haven't the Astros tried to get Keuchel back before the season gets too far? We need pitching. What do y'all think? I think that he's asking too much, and he won't. And him and Scott Boras are being stubborn on the price. The Astros have made an offer that they're willing to pay, and if he's not willing to accept that, then nothing you can do about it.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. I wrote an article about it for SportsMap a while back. I thought we were well past it because we weren't going to have to address it with the way the starters had been pitching. But obviously, anytime that there's any kind of hiccups in the rotation, they're going to look back at him. Now, if he's willing to give you a heck of a deal, then so be it. He's 31 years old.
Yep.
So the thing you got to factor in is he may be willing to give you a deal to some degree, but do you think at 32 years old, he's any closer to getting a five-year, $100 million deal? No, probably more like taking the average of a Miley deal at $5 million a year, and he's probably never going to get the big payday. That's why I said when people started saying chances of him either firing Boris first or signing with a team, it's starting to look like he needs to get rid of Scott Boris and get a reality check.
I tell you, the one thing that you don't have to worry about as much. Now, you still have to worry about it. But with Keiko, he's never been a guy that's going to blow you away with his fastball. He doesn't. His velocity is not – that's not what makes him an effective pitcher. He stays down in the zone. He nibbles a little bit. He's like a not even a poor man. He's like a broke man's Greg Maddux. He's going to induce tons of ground balls. He's going to nibble on the edge and keep moving out. And that's – but so when you have a guy like that, you don't have to worry about age necessarily taking away what they've been effective at, which would be velocity. Like a guy like Justin Verlander, he's got good control, but he can also pump it up at 98 in the seventh or eighth inning. Once he loses that, he loses some of his effectiveness when he starts to change speeds on his pitches, because if the fastball isn't as fast, everything else slows down too. So a guy like Keuchel, I worry, obviously you don't want guys being old.
Right.
But it's a little less concerning. The problem is he's not worth the money he wants.
He's not. That's the biggest thing to me is if you're looking at him in 2015 winning the Cy Young or when he was an all-star, even from 15 to being an all-star, a year ago, you look at it and say there's a huge drop-off in his control because you're right. He's not going to overpower anybody. But when he won the Cy Young, his control was on point. I mean, it was painting the corners. It was everywhere. It was down in the zone. It was giving him what he wanted in terms of ground balls and easy outs. And we saw the struggles that he had just in the first inning alone a year ago. And that gave you some concern. But then throughout the course of the season, you looked at his control and you could compare it to previous years and go, it's just not the same. But then you heard Scott Boras say, we're looking in the market of 5 years and $100 million if you want to sign Dallas Keuchel. And that should have immediately been the signal for the Astros that, hey, it's been fun while it lasted, but it's time for us to go our separate ways. I still feel that's the case. I told you at the time, I thought Miley, before they signed him, was the cheaper version of Dallas Keuchel, a more affordable version, and so far he's proven to be a good fit for that rotation.
Yeah, you're right. I was looking up walks per nine for Dallas, and when he's at his best, it's around two. And last year he was at 2.6 in 2017. He was an all-star, but it was at almost three. Mm-hmm. So his control has really waned after 2015. But he's still a guy. I mean, he can still be effective. The thing that I was worried about with Keuchel, especially coming off the last couple of years, was how healthy would he be? He had 34 starts last year. So if he can find and maintain some of that control, ERA wasn't terrible at a 3.74, not his best year by far, but Dallas Keuchel, for the money he wants, he's got to be a guy that's at or below three. I mean, he needs to be a 2.9, 3.1 guy somewhere in there. And so like a 3.7, 4.5 over the last two of the last three years, that's what he's been. He's just not going to get that kind of money. I would still like him. Don't get me wrong. I would still want him on the staff, but he's not worth the kind of money that he's asking for.
And to take it a step further, Scott Boras has got to be on notice, right? When you screwed Maldonado out of a deal that the Astros actually offered him, more money in more years than the one-year deal he ends up signing with the Royals. You've obviously promised a bill of goods to Dallas Keuchel that is not going to come true. And there's more and more cases when you look at it going, Scott Boras, you aren't the Jerry Maguire life story super agent that you once were, but you either got to kind of look in the mirror and take a hard look at how you're doing business. Otherwise, how are guys going to want to sign with you in the future?
Yeah. Now, again, I'm not excluding him from blame, but I wonder, there's probably, it's a mix of everybody. It's probably some parts Dallas Keuchel being stubborn and wanting to get his money because he knows this might be his last big contract. It might be Scott Boras doing the same thing. It might be the players union saying that the money that he's supposed to get being a Cy Young and all that. So I put most of the blame though on Boras and Keuchel and them just being stubborn. So, Scott Boras is really good, but sometimes you get so good that you get arrogant. And then when you start to get arrogant, like, I can get any deal for anybody, and then people are like, well, great, let's get me this. And, yeah, I can get you that Dallas Keuchel. Of course I can get you $25 million a year. Get over here. You got a Cy Young? This will be an easy sell. World Series winner, Cy Young winner, $25 million, no problem. It's like, yeah, the problem is the market's not willing to pay that.
This is karma for Boris being a dick when he screwed the Astros out of Beltran the first time around with the Mets at the last minute.
Actually, you're right.
Yeah.
But Temper Pura screwed the Astros because they wouldn't do a no-trade clause. That's what screwed the Astros. Beltran's even come out and said it.
I like Boris waving in the wind, though, because that one pissed me off.
So. That one made me mad, too. Yeah. But unfortunately, you can blame Temper Pura and Drayton McClain and their inability or unwillingness.
You know, Uncle Drayton was a little squeaky with
the table. They hated no-trade clauses, so yeah. That's why they lost Carlos Beltran.
Well, they hated to spend money, too. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you're Carlos Lee. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Two in the books, 1 hour still to go. The big show, don't go anywhere. It's the final 60 minutes coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.